You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Jessica Rector, and we talk about saying yes. One of the things that appealed to me about this topic, this pitch, when it came into my email box, is that I actually try to be a say yes person. In fact, it's a joke among my friend group, my in real life friend group, that people don't call me if they want me to talk them out of things. That's not something I do a whole lot. You call me if you want me to encourage you to do whatever new crazy idea you've got. You want to run a marathon? You want to be talked into it? Give me a call. You want to take a big trip? You want to be talked into it? Give me a call. Many years ago, a friend of mine wanted to buy himself a new bike, and he already had a bunch of bicycles. So in a group, we were out in a group, and he turns to me and he asks, you know, hey, should I buy a new bike? And other people in the group immediately started giggling. And I was like, listen, you know, I'm going to say yes. You know, I'm not going to talk you out of this. Buy the bike, take the trip, jump into the river. That's usually my answer. I didn't know what Jessica's say yes story would exactly be when I said yes to this interview. And before we started, she had no idea whether or not I was a say yes kind of person, because not everybody is, and there's nothing wrong with that. You'll hear us in our conversation learn this about each other as we go through the story. She's very enthusiastic about this, and truly, she could talk about this idea of saying yes all day. There are a couple times where she gets really rolling along in a story, and you're going to hear me jump in and sort of recenter the conversation. Some people in the audience appreciate this, and some do not, and I know that from the comments and the surveys I send out. All of it is good feedback. And now, you guys, it's time to say yes to this conversation. Let's do it. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Jessica Rector, are you ready for a fun chat today?
I am so ready, yes.
Yay! My warm-up questions, as always, I start by asking people what part of the world they call home. So tell us where you are.
I am in Texas.
Nice. Lots of options there. All right. What is something that you love or at least enjoy about living in Texas?
That my son's here.
That's fair.
You know, I mean, but he's only 13, so he would really be where I am.
No, but I think that's a wonderful answer. So today we're going to talk about saying yes. And this is something that over time you have turned into a program and all kinds of fun things. But what we're going to focus on in this conversation is that process of how you first became aware of your own desire and your need to do this and what changed for you as a result of that. How does that sound?
That is perfect. Yes, I love it.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so how long ago, this is the first time you and I have talked, how long ago was it that you went through this transformation?
Well, it was about 4 years ago, but it was really brought on by my then 9-year-old son and not myself. So it was something that he saw in me at the time. I was keynote speaking around the world, which I still do, but I was on the road more than I was home. And so whenever I was home, all I wanted to do was just lay on the couch and recover and really get my energy back to then having to go out again, right? And one night I was packing for another trip and he said, "Are you serious, Mama? You're leaving again?" On the verge of tears. And I just said, "I'll be back in just a couple days." And as I hugged him, I started tearing up and I could feel myself on the verge of crying as I'm like wiping tears in his shoulder on a sleeve on his shoulder. And I just said, "Buddy, I'll be back in just a couple days." And he said, "When you get back, let's start saying yes to stuff." And at the time, it just felt extremely overwhelming because that's really the last thing I wanted to do, right? It's counterintuitive to what we think when we're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed. What we think is, "I want to say no to stuff." And he said, "Well, we're not just going to say yes to everything. We're going to find the things that light you up, bring you joy, and make you happy again." And at that point, I couldn't tell you the last time that I'd done something like that. And more importantly, I couldn't even really tell you what did make me happy, what fun looked like in my life. And I think so many of us get to that point when we're going and being and doing for others that, you know, we forget what that looks like for ourselves. So that's really how it all started, was that.
So yeah, so that this is something that comes up a lot on the show, that sensation that we're doing for other people and that we're disconnected from the joy in our own personal lives. So it is something I hear from a lot of people. You mentioned that you were doing keynote speaking and you were doing a lot of travel. Let's talk a little bit about what life was like, even further back. So this sounds to me like you were working in a corporate job. Tell us what you were doing and if you liked it, because a lot of people really like work.
So I own my own company. I wasn't working for anybody else. I was working for myself, creating my own schedule. But what happened was when COVID hit, I was the only keynote speaker on burnout.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, organizations and events realize the importance of burnout and how they needed to start the addressing that issue. Now, pre-COVID, when I would talk to events, it was me really trying to share the benefits of preventing burnout, because back then nobody was talking about burnout. And then once COVID hit, everybody was talking about burnout, which is why I was on the road more than I was home, because I was traveling, keynote speaking at conferences, companies, events, meetings, you name it, because people really wanted help tackling the burnout issue. And I was loving it. I was absolutely loving it. I was really grateful for that point in my life, because it wasn't that many years previous to that that I was really, really struggling financially, figuring out what I wanted to do. You know, I'm a single mom. And so I had started keynote speaking, and then it actually exploded in a very short period of time. So I was very grateful for all the opportunities. Yet the things that I was sharing with people to go out and do for themselves, I was not necessarily practicing as the burnout expert for myself. And so it took my son actually saying those words to me for me to realize that I was on the verge of burnout myself. Because if nothing in our days change, what I tell people all the time is, you can go on vacation, you can go and take a day off, but if nothing in your day changes, you're just going back to the exact same thing. And that's what was happening, is I knew what to do, but I felt so compelled to help other people with this message on burnout that I wasn't helping myself with it.
So I think that's really important. And I love that you corrected me. Like, well, I made a guess that you were working for somebody else and that you corrected me. And you said, no, I was working for myself and this still happened. Because a lot of times people, I feel, and I'm not the expert on this, you are more of the expert than I am, but we are likely to blame other people for what's happening in our life. So we're like, well, this is because of my boss. This is because of the schedule at work. This is because of the schedule at school. This is because of the homework coming home from the schools, all of those things. And you know, and a lot of people are pushed to entrepreneurship because they think that the solution is, when I make my own schedule, then it'll be okay. But you are an example of somebody who was in charge of your own schedule and still ended up in a situation where you're like, hold the phone. I am not doing what I said I'm supposed to do. So your son was 9 years old when you wrote this in your pitch, and I listened to you just now say it. This is a very tuned in young man to be able to say the things that he said to you. I was thinking back to my kids when they were 9. I was like, I don't know if they would have been able to say that. So what was was this the first time this had come up with your son? Like, let's pick at that a teeny tiny bit. Like, where had he groused a little bit when you'd left before? Like, what were some of the things going on with this?
So I'm his only parent. And so he and I are always like 24/7, right? When he was younger, it was always me. He wasn't going away to dad's house for the weekend or anything like that. And as I started speaking, the more I started speaking, the more I was also away, which initially was good, right? Because I feel like I need time away to be my best self. He needs time away to be his best self. And it was good. But then again, when COVID hit, all events shut down except for things turned virtual. When events started opening back up, I literally was on the road all the time. I'd come home for one day, I'd leave again, I'd come home for 2 days, leave again for a week. I was constantly on the road. So I think for him, it was missing that time with me because I wasn't around as much. And I don't even know if he like intellectually knew that, but instinctually, I think he knew that. Just kids miss being around their parents when they're used to being around them that much, right? At that age. But also, I think he saw how I was showing up when I was at home. I'm a very energetic, fun, let me go and do things, let's have fun, let's go. And during that period, I was very much, let me just relax on the couch so I can get my energy up. And then again, the next day, I'd be leaving on another trip. So it was this vicious cycle that I was in. And when we're in cycles like that, oftentimes it takes an external force to get us out of it. Because what happens is we tend to show up that same way, and it becomes a habit and a pattern that we develop without even recognizing that's how we're showing up. So I wasn't even consciously aware that every time I'd get home, I'd unpack and then just want to go veg out and re-energize and not do a whole lot. And he wanted to go do things. And it was okay, let's go do something. But it would take me a bit to get to that point, as opposed to, oh, I'm excited, let's go. It would take me a little bit to get that energy and excitement back up that he was so used to. So I think he was very in tune with how I was showing up or how I wasn't showing up, that I used to always show up.
So he had that comparison of
Yes,
when you had
for
been
sure.
keynoting from home and been able to more balance it. Because I think everybody, because there's a lot to unpack here, right? Like the thing that was taking away some of the energy is, I mean, travel is exhausting, and this is your business and your job, and it's what pays the bills. And that's a very acceptable reason that people say, no, you know, I got to prioritize the work. That is something that a lot of people be like, yeah, we get it. You got to go to work. And then, yeah, if you're tired from work, that is a thing that happens. But, and so I think that that's a good thing. And I think the other thing that's really important about what you said that I'll just echo for everybody in the audience is that it is very hard to see how other people are seeing us. And sometimes we do need that reflection from somebody else. This was actually a very loving reflection from somebody who cared about you. Sometimes the thing that lets us know how we're showing up is something that feels like, you know, being slammed in the face with a 2x4. It's like, oh, wait, what?
For sure. Well, I've
Yeah.
had those moments with my son as well. Like he holds a mirror up to me quite often, and he'll be like, "Okay, I don't like the tone of voice that you just took with me." I was like, "You're right. I could have said that nicer. That I didn't have anything to do with you." But then also, I'm like, "Well, that tone was warranted because I've asked you 4 times to do that." You know, so he holds a mirror up to me, and I need that, right? And I think most people do. Otherwise, we just keep showing up the exact same way, and we don't recognize that there's a different way, a better way, a more successful way, a nicer way for us, you know, to show up. We just keep doing that exact same thing because most of the time we're not holding mirrors up to ourselves.
Right.
And that's a key, is that are we holding mirrors up to ourselves? And one thing I do want to point out is you mentioned oftentimes people say, like, I want to go work for myself. I want to start entrepreneurship. The thing about entrepreneurship is you don't have someone that is lurking over you, so to speak, or management, you know, someone micromanaging you and that kind of stuff. But oftentimes, if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, you will work longer and harder than you will for somebody else. So if you're getting into entrepreneurship because you think you're going to make more money and work less, wrong reason to get into it. That never happens. If you want to get into entrepreneurship, do it because you love it and that you're called to do it, that you want to do it, because you're not going to work any harder or longer than you will in entrepreneurship.
I second that. The other day, a couple of weeks ago, last week maybe, January is a very, we're recording this in January. It's a very long month full of all Mondays. I had to upgrade some of the home equipment for our Wi-Fi, and it was fine. It has worked out, but it was one of those things I really put it off because it involved shutting everything down. It seemed like a high stakes kind of thing, and I, in the moment, was like, "Oh, I miss having somebody else to take me to be able to do this, you know, to even blame if it goes wrong and all of those things." So, all right. So your son challenges you to say yes, and you go on this trip, and you come back and you make a commitment to say yes. Was this an easy shift for you guys?
So initially, what happened was it wasn't something big initially. I just said I'll be back in a couple of days, and he said, "Okay, we're going to start saying yes when you get back." I honestly thought he would forget about it. He did not. And so I get back. He knows I have a massive love that's almost as big as my love for him, and it's ice cream. I absolutely love ice cream, and he knows that. So he found a little local ice cream shop and we went to that. And as I'm sitting across the table from him with this big thing of mocha chocolate brownie supreme in the middle of us, he just starts talking. And I can't even tell you, even in that moment, what he was talking about, because it was my brain trying to keep up with someone did something to him at school, and then he said this, and you know, and then all of a sudden it goes to soccer, and you know, my brain's just going from this to this and trying to keep up with the conversation. And all of a sudden I start laughing from something he says. But what hits me is not from what he says, but that I can't remember the last time I had laughed that hard, that my side hurt, that I was like on the verge of tears. I was like, oh my gosh, that is so funny. You know, and kids can do that to us, but it means that we have to be in the moment and present, whether it's a kid, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, in order to pay attention for ourselves to enjoy ourselves that much to laugh. And that was kind of the big aha for me. And as we left that ice cream place holding hands, I thought, man, we got to do this again. And at the exact same time, he said, Mama, we got to do this again. And so it started off as small. Then it turned into let's go on a walk, but that walk turned into a scavenger hunt that he created. You know, so it turned into small things like this that I had never done or hadn't done in that way. And there's something that happens in our brains when novelty is involved, something new or something done in a different way. Our brain gets excited. We're having fun. We feel that fulfillment, that joy, anticipation, like all those different kinds of feel-good emotions that our days we do not have, because by the time we reach adulthood, 70% of our day is a habit, is routine. So we're not even actively thinking about things that happen 70% of the time in our day, which means that novelty, we don't have it because our brain isn't actively thinking of new and different. And so that's what kind of lit up in my brain. And so it started off small things like that, that then turned into bigger moments. Because again, when you start something small, no matter what it is, you want to take a class, you want to go teach, you want to write a book, whatever it is, you start something small, it activates something in your brain that actually says, now what's possible, right? Before you thought, can't happen. It's not going to work. But then when you start it, you think, oh my gosh, well, what if I can finish this book? Well, what if this is just the first of 13 books? Or what if, you know, our brain starts activating in different ways. And that's what happened. Every time we would do these small little say yes experiences, it activated my brain to go, oh, okay, well, what is possible? And what can we do? And what else? What else do I want to say yes to? And so we went on a month-long trip in Europe. And Blaze at that point had never been out of the United States. We went on this month-long trip in Europe and he did not want to go. He'd never heard of Europe. He didn't know what that was. They hadn't studied it in school. And I said, you can come with a good attitude or you can come with a bad attitude, but either way you're coming. And it's going to be a lot funner if you come with a good attitude. And so we go to Ireland. That was the first place we went. And we see these bunta bikes. Now, this is back when I'd never seen a rent-a-bike. I didn't even know they existed. And he says, Mommy, I want to ride those bikes. They're big enough. They're made for adults. And I was like, buddy, no. We're on our way to the square. I want to go see this square. That's what we're doing. And as we start walking, he goes, this is a Say Yes experience. And that was, again, like him holding up a mirror to me going, And it made me think, why did I actually say no to that? Because that square was going to be there, whether we got there in 20 minutes or whether we got there in 3 hours, it didn't matter. Because it was early afternoon, plenty of sunlight. I could see the square at any time. And so that was a mirror held up that we say no so many times as adults, and we don't even recognize the real reason behind why we're saying no. And as I asked myself, well, why am I saying no? Well, I don't want to spend the money on renting a bike. We have bikes at home that in our garage that we don't ride. Why do I want to ride a bike in Ireland? We can do that back home. I don't want to spend the time. I want to get to the square. That's my goal. That is what I want to do. And so when he said this is a Say Yes experience, I said, you know what? You're right. So we went a little bit longer, found more rent-a-bikes. We rented them. They were about 50 cents. And we did it for maybe 15, 20 minutes. And he did it and he'd fall down and he'd get back up, fall down and he'd get back up because they were adult bikes. And then all of a sudden this light bulb went off that he needed to stand up so he could reach the pedals. And it was just beautiful to see how he never gave up. And I didn't have to say, don't give up, keep going, keep doing. He just instinctively knew that. And then he goes, Mommy, it's your turn. And I said, no, I'm good. And he said, no, you got to do, you know, say yes. So I did it. And although it was literally riding a bike, which how many times have most of us ridden bikes? Like lots, right? But I hadn't ridden a bike in years. And I was on that bike, my arms out to the side, like freedom. Oh my gosh. And it just felt so liberating in that moment to be able to ride a bike, no worries, no stress, no concerns. I don't have to get to that square at any specific time. And it was such a great reiteration to me that we get so caught up in getting to our destination and getting somewhere, that goal, reaching the top, whatever it looks like, that we forget about saying yes to all these little moments along the way. And people wait until a certain time. I'm going to have this bucket list and I want to keep adding to it. And I want to go to Ireland and I want to start a business and I want to find love. And I want to like all these things. We wait, wait, wait. And we're just spending, wasting and waiting our life away. And all these moments in the meantime are opportunities to say yes, but our brain is so hardwired to say no. And we don't even know why we say no most of the time. So I just encourage those listening that those moments, don't wait. Like there's opportunities every single day to say yes. Just start saying yes and see what happens. Just try it. And it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be good. You're going to fall down and you're going to get back up and you're going to fail and it's going to look messy. And give yourself permission for it to look messy, for it to be bad in order to get good. But when we say yes to all those little things, those are the moments. Those are the things that we remember. They don't have to wait until these big goals or dreams or ambitions that we have. All these little things that we do along the way to say yes to, those are the moments and those are the memories we create. And that's when you're actually living, is through all those.
I love that. I actually wrote down when you, I think it's a great word to use, novelty for something new. New things have a reputation of being very hard, which is true. But things that we do, I want to talk a little bit about the first experience. So you guys go on this ice cream date together because you said yes to that and you really had a good time. And there was another possibility that could have happened that didn't happen, but you could have had a lousy time, you know, like if it had not gone well, because sometimes one of the things, you know, that can happen is, you know, we can try things and it'll be lousy. And then there's another choice that's there that's like, okay, I don't want to do that again. But you don't know it until you try.
Absolutely.
You don't know it until
Absolutely.
you try it. But in this case, you did have a great experience. You guys take the trip. I think that that story about the bikes on the way to a tourist event, it doesn't even have to be in Europe, but I don't think there's anybody who's taken a family trip with kids that has not gone through that. Can we rent the scooter? Can we get the bike? Can we do those things? And there are so many reasons to either say yes or say no, right? In a variety of situations. We took a family trip years and years and years ago with the little scooters that are all the rental scooters. And even though, because I do try and say yes to as many things, it was funny how long it took us to actually be able to get it to work. Like, so my kids were like, let's do it. And like the first ones we tried, we didn't have any of the apps. We had to go to a place where we had Wi-Fi to download the apps. Then the first like 30 scooters, it was like so many, had dead batteries.
Yes.
But we didn't even know how to tell. So we didn't know.
Yep.
And then when we finally got it working, we were all so proud of each other. We were like, oh my gosh,
yes.
Like, look how
yes.
fun this is.
And, but Amy, you know, that's where the beauty of it happens. Like if it went perfectly the first time, you wouldn't remember it nearly as well as when things don't go as planned. I remember kind of to what you're saying on that same trip, we were in Italy and we'd never even seen an electric scooter like that before. And my son wanted to rent them. And exactly what you're saying, we didn't have the app. We didn't know how it worked. So, you know, after tons of time, we couldn't even do it that day. We had to go to the hotel, download the app.
Yes,
I put in my credit card information because I couldn't even put the credit card information in when I was trying to scan it from the, I mean, it was a process like what you're saying, right? And then we get on it. And keep in mind, Blaze is 9 at the time.
Right.
And we're on the same scooter, riding around, having fun. And then we get pulled over by the president's security detail, telling us that we have to get off because he does not have a helmet. And I was like, oh. Secret Service. That's who I'm. The President's Secret Service. And I was like the President, President. And he's like, yes, the President, President. And I was like, okay. But of course, as soon as we get back home, Blaze is like, we need to get one of those for us. You know.
Yeah, we have a whole gaggle in our garage for all.
Right, but those are the
helmets.
Experiences we remember. Right, are those and like you could have easily said no, but then like that's living, like that's experiencing, right?
Right. And if there had been, you know, sometimes like as the saying is, like saying no is sometimes saying yes. If there had been something in the square that was like a once in a lifetime, like, no, you know, the concert that you want to see is in the square, you're going to miss it if we do this, then it's like saying yes to something else. And so I think that both of those, but the idea of looking for the things and appreciating the moments, I really love this. So what, how would you say that your life has changed as a result of this say yes experiment? Because you begin to treat this as like, let's see what happens if I really look at my life and say yes to these fun moments. What changes for you in the way your life is going as a result of that?
Well, it's interesting. So every little one adds, right? And as I mentioned earlier, your brain starts expanding into what's possible. And so it was 20, now it's been 25 years that I did a study abroad program for my MBA, and they gave me 3 choices of countries I could go study abroad in. One was the UK and London, and I'd been a few times, so I was like, eh. And then one was Australia, and I said, oh, I've always wanted to go there. I will definitely go there. So I chose to go to Norway, which is a great decision. But fast forward, it took me 21 years, and we just went to Australia 2 years ago. So it took me 21 years to finally go to Australia. But the Say Yes experience made that possible because I kept putting it off, kept putting it off, kept putting it off, until finally I told my son, no, we're doing it. We're going this year. And really, and it's not necessarily about traveling. I mean, for us, it has been because part of it is like, so we've been to 19 countries in 3 years. And so part of it, like, we love traveling, but it's not the travel, it's the experiences of other cultures, of once in a lifetime adventures, of other people, other ways of doing and living, and all of these different kinds of things. And I think traveling also helps me specifically learn more about myself, helps us better problem solve, enhance our critical thinking. There's so many benefits to it. But you can do all these things literally in your own backyard. You can do them in your house. You can literally find novelty inside your house. Blaze one time wanted to play lava. And again, this is back when this first got started, and I had no idea what that even was. And so he explains it, like, you got to get from one side of the room to the other side of the room, and all you do is you got to jump on the couch again and jump on the furniture. And I'm a little bit competitive, so I was like holding him down so he wouldn't make it to the other side. So it's about finding those moments in the everyday life. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to cost you anything. You don't have to leave your house, but it's about saying yes to those moments. And the more you say yes to those moments, the more you're developing your curiosity skill, you're developing your courage muscle, and you're forming those deeper connections with people around you and also with yourself. And those are really the three pillars of say yes experiences and how they benefit you in your life. But then once you start doing it, it also benefits those around you.
So when, as you tell this story, it sounds to me like, at least in your own personal story, there's a pretty big chunk of this that was saying yes to requests from you from somebody very important in your life and making the commitment to actually be there present in that moment. Things like, I've played a lot of lava with my kids, right? Like, I was not always in the mood. Or actually, let's use a different example that, like, with, so Candyland. I probably have played Candyland 5 gazillion times. It's not an intellectually challenging game, folks. Like, after you've played it 500 times, you're not necessarily chomping at the bit. And then the kid comes up and is like, play it again. Or reading a book for the 20,000th time that is only 5 pages that you've already done, right? So yeah. Do I have a fairly decent read on this? Like, some of it was that Blaze was giving you the chance to say yes to quality time with him. And you were like, I'm going to say yes to that too, because it's important to me and I enjoy it.
Yes. And when we do that, it also, especially if it's, you know, someone that you love is asking you to do it, it should fill you up as well. And if it doesn't, then
it's
maybe
a sign
that's
of something else.
That's a sign of something else, right?
Another conversation.
Yeah. But I think it also allows us to stop and pause.
Yep.
Instead of going and doing and constantly being busy, people use busy as though it's a badge. Instead of doing that, stop and pause, take a breath in, and what's important in this moment? Is it work? Is it that phone call that you were going to make? Or is it spending, you know, 5 minutes reading this book that you've read 5,000 times to your child? Because your child wants that, because your child's only going to be this age one time. Soon he's going to be a teenager and he's going to think you're cringe and you're not cool anymore, right? So it's also, again, just holding a mirror up to you of what's really important. And it's also saying yes to yourself, because we get so busy saying yes to the world, saying yes to everybody else, but we forget about what saying yes to us looks like. What lights us up? What fills us up? What makes us happy? I know for a lot of people, when you have kids, you get so intertwined with kids, you start going and doing and being for them. And that fills your schedule and you forget, but what do I want?
Right.
Because you know what? When you're going and picking a restaurant, you can eat anywhere because you've learned to eat anywhere. So great. You just give in and fine, we'll eat wherever you want. That's fine. Whatever. Or, oh, okay. You want to go there? We'll go there. That's fine. Because it's just not worth the fight. It's not worth the fuss. It's like we give in. But then when we're asked, what is it you want? What is it you like? What do you want to do? What trip do you want to take? Where do you want to go? What do you love? You have no idea because you haven't thought about you, 100% you, in so long. So it's also about Saying
So
yes
can
to
I ask,
yourself.
can I ask, sorry to jump in. I
No.
interrupted you a little bit, but I want to ask about that because I do hear that from a lot of people and I've experienced some of it myself. For you, when you were going through that, you were very honest and you said the first yes experience was at a request from your son to go get ice cream, which does sound fantastic. What was the process like for you? Because I think you did mention that you felt a little bit of disconnect from discovering what were the things that were on your wish list and your bucket list. Was it instant that you reconnected to the things that you wanted, or what was the process of reconnecting to your desires like for you? Like, was it, how did that happen? How did that begin to bubble up?
Well, I think it's a slow process. I don't think you go from where you are now to boom, oh yeah, this is what I want to do tomorrow. You know, we all, most of us have bucket lists or things that we wanted to do, but we just keep adding to it year after year and we don't do anything with it. It's like a wish list. But really, we get to this point when we realize we're not going to live forever. I want to start living those things out, but I also want to start living for me because I've been putting everyone first for so long. So when Blaze held up that mirror to me, that was kind of the first aha for my life. I've been working and grinding and like loving. You don't have to hate work to feel burned out, right? Or on the
Right.
verge of burnout. I was loving it and passionate about it, but I also wasn't balancing it with things that I actually enjoyed because I didn't know what I really enjoyed at that point. And so once Blaze kind of introduced me to let's go say yes to ice cream, and then, you know, it was like, let's go on a walk and do scavenger. And then it was like, ooh, okay, that was so much fun. What else can we do? Oh, well, I can just do a puzzle at home, right? Hadn't done a puzzle in so long because I've been quote unquote busy doing so many other things. So it's also just slowly asking yourself, what is it that I like? What is it that I enjoy? What is it? If I could, one of my favorite questions is if you could go anywhere and do anything, where would you go and what would you do? Most people can't answer that question because they haven't thought about themselves in so long. So
What
if you
was the
could go
first thing that
anywhere,
you remember doing just for you? Do you remember what it might have been?
just for me, the first thing that I remember doing just for me was a lot of women do this, but just taking a full spa day.
Okay.
Hadn't
That's
done
the,
that
yeah.
for so long. Like
Yeah.
full on all day spa day where I had different things that I was actually going to do just to sit there and replenish me. But then it was also taking a trip by myself, like a solo trip by myself. And guess what? That was one of the most amazing things. I traveled for work, but that's not really taking a trip by yourself, right? I could sleep in, I could go where I want. It wasn't like, how much longer are we going to be here? Can we leave now and go do this? Oh
Yeah.
no, I want to eat this. It was like I could eat what I want. I didn't need permission. I didn't have to check on anyone to make sure he was okay. It was literally me doing exactly what I wanted when I wanted, right? But when do we actually do that kind of thing for ourselves that we can literally just make all decisions based on us?
Yeah,
If
no,
you're a parent, you don't, right?
I remember several years ago, something happened and everybody was gone. I was in the house by myself and I was like, hold the phone. I can eat cereal for
Yes.
dinner. Like, I don't have to make a meal, right? And it was that connection. It was like, nobody's looking. I can do what I want. All right. How did this shift from something that you were doing for your own growth and with your family and just as an experience, excuse me, to something that you wanted to develop into a program and share with other people?
So beforehand, I was working with keynoting on burnout and mental health. And so, what I found is after me doing various say yes experiences, like, I mean, small things, taking myself to a movie without anyone, you know, just things that you can do for yourself. When I started doing various ones of these big and small, what I found is it actually enhanced my mental health and helped me prevent burnout. So, then I started keynoting about this Say Yes experience and offering programs and stuff. And it's really an unconventional way to think of your mental health and burnout prevention, but it's also having fun and giving to yourself is also the number one thing you need. But when you're on the verge of burnout, you're the last thing that you think about. And so having fun, I think, is so underrated. People put off fun. They're too busy. They got too much on their plate, whatever. But those are just excuses, right? The thing is you have to be intentional with fun. It doesn't just happen in your day. You literally have to schedule fun. What am I going to do for fun? And anything that we really are going to enjoy, the things that bring us joy, but excitement, adventure. There was a study done that when people take trips that they're actually wanting to take, they're excited about, the most excited that they feel, the most joy that they feel, you would think is when they're actually on the trip.
I like, know this. I know what you're going to say. You say it.
The middle of it, it's actually the day before they leave because of the anticipation for it. So put something on your calendar that you're anticipating, that you're looking forward to, that you're excited about. And we need more of that in our life. And so and when you start doing this, it will literally change the trajectory of your life, because you're not going to go out and just do those things where you're excited and, you know, that fill you up, but it'll expand your brain to what's actually possible. So I started, you know, we started doing all these kind of things for fun. And then I went on 100 days of Say Yes experiences, better appropriately called 100 days of courage or discomfort, however you want to language it, because it was really me embarking on 100 days of things that helped me stretch my courage, trying new things, trying things in different ways, trying things that quite frankly scared me, that held me back, so we can break through those. And so that's one of the things that I teach people on now, is really building that courage muscle, because anything that you want to do, people, you know, you often hear about fear. Anything you want to do is on the other side of fear. You got to get through the fear. You got to conquer the fear. You got to overcome the fear. But really what it's about is increasing your courage muscle, because then when fear happens, you know, you have the courage to get through it.
Yeah. That's why I ask people about choices, because once you make the choice, you're kind of on the road. Like, so questions about your 100-day challenge, and then we'll wrap this up, because I could talk to you about it all day. Was it 100 days in a row?
It was 100 days. So what happened was, it was about 45 days in a row.
Wow.
And
Did you pre-plan what you were going to do, or were you deciding one day for the next? Okay.
No, literally, Amy, it was a Tuesday that I came up with the idea, and I started it on Thursday. I had nothing planned.
Wow.
So it was like me just kind of going. And then about 45 days in, I didn't have anything planned. And I told my son, I don't have anything planned. Oh my. And he goes, what about not doing one today? That is it. And I was like, that means I'm not going to post. That means I'm not going to, oh my gosh, I don't know. And that was scary, right? And that was his whole point, is, mom, like, what's going to happen if you don't? Like, that's stretching your courage in a different way. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. And so I didn't do it that day. And I thought, okay, nothing bad happened. Like, no one messaged me saying, where's the next day? And so that also gave me permission to stop stressing, to stop worrying about it, stop being concerned about it. And in the process, then I relaxed a little bit. So it was about 100 days. Instead of it being about 3.5 months, it was about four months, a little over 4 months. So
I love that. I love that. All right. So in a second, we're going to do the final questions, but I want to give you a chance to tell people how they can connect with you after they're watching and listening to this interview. And you've got a special offer for the audience, so we'll share that too.
Yeah, you can connect with me on Instagram at @HelloJessicaRector. You can also reach out at Jessica@sayyesexperience.com, or go to the website, sayyesexperience.com.
Awesome. And you've got a download that people can get, which is right on theme with this conversation today, which is a bucket list template. And the link for that is in the show notes and the audio platforms, the description of this episode on YouTube. The easiest way to always get the links for these things I say in every episode is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community. And the reason it's the easiest is because then the link just shows up in your email box and you don't have to be on any other platforms. I'm a big fan of it. I invite everybody to join. That is a very generous offer, Jessica, and I want to thank you for that very much. Are you ready to wrap this up with my final three questions?
I am. Yes, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. How do you feel about bowling alleys and rented bowling shoes? Love it, hate it, or not sure because you've never really done it?
I love it. Why not? You know, I mean, there's very little, Amy, that I would say no to or like say I don't like.
Very cool. All right. So I am of the opinion that the world can be divided into two groups. Don't worry. This is not a political question. People who have a karaoke song ready to go at any given time. And those of us who will never be Ishban to come karaoke with me. Which group do you fall into?
Probably karaoke at any given time.
Do you have
Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi?
There you go. I knew it. See, this is the thing. People who do it, they have a song ready to go because you have to, because you got to go up and like pick the song. All right. Very good.
Actually, Amy, I just did karaoke for my 100 Days of Say Yes experiences. That was my first time ever doing it. And that Bad Medicine is the hardest song to sing. So I probably, that's what I sang and that's what I said, but I probably would choose another song. It was so hard.
I have a lot of respect for that. I really, really do. Third and final question. What is the last thing that you bought or ordered online that you enjoy, something that makes you happy? Maybe you think that some of us will enjoy it and we should run out and get one for ourselves.
The last thing I bought online that makes me happy. Sad thing is I don't really have an answer for that.
Okay.
A lot of things that I recently bought online were more of a need than make me happy. For instance, I bought a new monitor for my desk. And people call me crazy because the monitor I have used forever is just the monitor that comes with my laptop, the little small monitor. And I finally branched out and bought a big old monitor for my desk. And guess what? That does make me happy.
I was going to say, I think that's a wonderful example because it's like something was like you were like settling before and it was make and do, but you're like, oh, let's just do this. And now you have the thing that you wanted. I absolutely think that's a spectacular answer. Thank you so much, Jessica Rector, for being a wonderful guest today on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obviously, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone. Signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.